Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only Nona Hendrix, who's going to be part of the Jimi Hendrix tribute Friday at Wolf Trap. Nona, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to.
Now, a lot of our listeners, they might know you from all your solo work, and obviously La Belle, all those great songs, Lady Marmalade, all that stuff. But one of the reasons you're coming out Friday is because maybe our listeners don't know you're a cousin of the Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, that is true, and it's interesting that we did work together years when he was just playing in a backup band with Gorgeous George, and we didn't know that we were related, which was quite interesting.
Really? How did that? I guess you. I am assuming you didn't grow up together then, or you know how did you actually make that connection?
My sister made the connection through doing a family tree. And found my great grandfather was cousins with, so it's a distant cousin relationship.
I gotcha. So what were your divergent paths there? So you grew up in New Jersey. Do you remember listening to him at least before you knew you were related to him?
No, because we were kind of around the same time period. I think we were being a part of the Bluebells.
Gotcha.
And then Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, we were already touring and performing in the 60s, and that's at the time when he was playing in these backup bands with Gorgeous George and before going to the Isley Brothers and becoming Jimi Hendrix. So we were kind of, our paths crossed again when we were signed to Track Records that was owned by Kit Lambert and Chris Stamp, who managed and The Who. And Hendrix was then, Jimmy was then signed to Track Records as well, and then we were signed to Track Records. So our paths kept crossing, but the actual knowledge that we were related didn't happen until much later.
Gotcha. I assume after he passed, that's when you figured it out?
Yes, because he died so young that kind of information, and my sister going through the whole thing on the internet and going through family tree and DNA to find out our relatives, that came much later.
Gotcha. Well, it's cool that you're coming out and paying tribute to him on Friday. I see the set list here. I know it opens with Fire, closes with Purple Haze, a ton of other awesome songs in between. And you'll be sharing the stage with the Ernie Isley. Fishbone. Which of those songs are you going to be doing?
I'm doing, because it's covering, you know, some of his music pre his development into the Hendrix Experience. Mm. I'm doing one called Dancing All Around the World, which is a kind of throwback rock and roller. And then I'm doing Wind Cries Mary, which is just an amazing song. And Freedom, which is also a great song, especially for now.
Yeah.
And If Six Were Nine.
Oh, awesome.
You know, and Wind Cries Mary, 619 are two of my favorite Jimmy songs.
That's awesome. And you mentioned just a second ago that Freedom's a great song, especially for now. Elaborate. Why is it so relevant?
Well, because so much of our freedom is kind of under attack from different areas, and, you know, there's been so much division brought to the front with the things that are happening in terms of the flag and the statue and neo-Nazis and white supremacy, and you know that all of that stuff has reared its ugly head, and people don't feel as free as they were feeling or beginning to, you know, to expect in this country. So I think it's really important that song is a part of this body of work.
Absolutely. It's going to be, especially in that light, you know, especially so recently to Charlottesville, and now you guys are coming,
yes,
to Virginia, not very far from there, in Wolf Trap, and
yes,
it's going to be extra poignant. It's going to be great to hear you sing that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, at the time that Jimmy wrote it and recorded it, there was similar feelings going on, and so it's just good to be able to bring something music which brings people together always and has always had that effect to be able to do that again and sing it from a place of a positive place, not a negative place about freedom, because freedom can never really be negative, I don't think.
Absolutely. What since you're paying tribute to Jimmy, we kind of talked about, we just talked about sort of the social commentary, but in terms of musically, the musicality of what he brought to the table, what made him such a genius? I mean, is he the best guitar player ever?
I have to say, you know, because he changed how and. The sound of the guitar, the sounds that you could get out of a guitar, that you could coax out of a guitar, and it left a huge imprint on music that resonates still to this day. So he is one of. There are others who are mighty guitarists who in our history.
Yeah.
And so I can't just claim him as the greatest, but he certainly did. He has. Those are some large, large shoes to fill.
Who else would? Who else might you put up in his league?
Well, let me see. I mean, you know, people who have admired him. I mean, Keith Richards. I mean, his imprint on music is pretty big. Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck. I mean,
yeah.
Is, you know, I kind of line him up with Jimmy because they. Change the sound of what you can do, what's possible with a guitar. and, you know, there's I forget the guitarist in Metallica, you know. I mean, there are guitarists who are brilliant and some who people don't even know, the guitarist with Chambers Brothers. I mean, these are masters of their instrument. And yes, most of them have been influenced by Jimmy. So, but I think there are guitarists who line up there.
Awesome. How about? I mean, so that was we're hailing his ability to play the guitar. But what talk about sort of his stage presence? How sort of the persona was almost part of the act as much as the music too.
Yes, I. Absolutely. And Jimmy was a quick learner. I mean, you know, he went from, you know, wearing the sharkskin suits and being a suited musician, more in the R&B, you know, rock and post-rock and roll, so the R&B period, with bands like Gorgeous George's band that was backing up a lot of the touring, Chitlin' Circuit touring artists. And, you know, I think the influence from the Isley Brothers in terms of their pushing the envelope in terms of look and performance and the whole psychedelic movement, you know, going to San Francisco, you know, he could see what was happening. And just as he was interested in changing guitar sounds and what you do with it, he was interested in changing how you were on stage and the whole his... relationship with the English artists, you know, with Ginger Baker and people like that. And you know, he could see. He was one of these people. He would see what was going on and take it and make it his own. And, he wreaked havoc on the guitar on stage, you know, wreaked havoc on, you know, amps and wanted to get everything he could out of a performance, out of the guitar, and, you know, use that time on stage to say, okay, I'm gonna do everything, you know, tap into every feeling that you could possibly have for the time that I'm here.
I love the way you put that. You wreaked havoc. That's the perfect way to describe it.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I mean,
that's great.
You know, setting the guitar on fire, you know, smashing it, playing it with his teeth and everything that he could possibly play it with. The guitar didn't stand a chance.
You're a soundbite machine. You realize that?
Oh, well.
the guitar didn't stand a chance. That's great.
It didn't.
That's so awesome. Well, I know we're here to talk about Jimmy, but just like when I had Ernie Isley on, I had to end with a question about the Isley brothers. So with you, I got to ask about LaBelle, because yeah, you've had a little musical contributions on your own. You know, let's not sell yourself short. So you and Sarah Dash both were you met in Jersey, and then you hooked up with Patti LaBelle, or I guess her real name was Patricia Holt. And she was from Philly. But how did that meeting actually come together?
It came together through the mother of one of the people in the group, the Del Capris that I was in with Sarah. She knew a manager in Philadelphia. He managed other groups and artists. And Patti was in a group called the Ordettes with Cindy Birdsong, who then went on to join the Supremes after Florence died. And he knew someone who was looking for a girl group, and he chose through his selection process, me and Sarah from my group, and Patti and Cindy, and that's how we became the Bluebells.
Awesome. I could talk your career all day with you, but we're not gonna keep you around.
That would be a while. You'd have to pack a lunch.
Yeah, exactly. You got to take me into Lady Marmalade. What is voulez-vous coucher? However you even say it. What does it mean? I know there isn't it about like a prostitution or something, like secretly.
I love it. It's probably the only French that most Americans know, and it came from during the Second World War, the American soldiers in France. It was a famous phrase, "Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?" means "Will you sleep with me tonight?"
Ah, and, okay.
Yes, so it's very straightforward, and it's set in New Orleans as a woman of the night or a prostitute, and she is singing about, you know, her experience.
I see. I gotcha. Okay. Well, you know, it works for New Orleans or
it worked around the world, I
have
to say.
It worked at the Moulin Rouge as well.
It worked. It's one of those songs, and it's in music, when people ask me about how do you make a hit record? And it's kind of like when you find the perfect marriage of a song with the perfect voice or voices and the perfect producer and the perfect musicians, that something comes together that is just, everything is right. And that's what that was.
Absolutely. Were you surprised that it kind of came back around for a new generation with the Buzz Lightyear movie?
It keeps coming around. It's one of those, you know. It's like I Will Survive or Celebrate, or you know, it's one of those songs that you put it on and people just get up and dance.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure you're tired of talking about that song, so we'll let you.
Never tire of, you know, there's something that brought such great success and acknowledgement to us, and you know, even with the negative side of the people, you know, there was order of nuns who thought we were the devil incarnate.
Oh man!
But you know, it's a fun thing and a great thing to have in my life, and I'm sure Patti and Sarah feel the same.
Absolutely. Well, you've had a long, awesome career, so we do appreciate you taking the time to join us. But this Friday is going to be all about Jimmy, so everybody come out.
Yes.
It's at Wolf Trap. They're
going to rock. Fishbone are absolutely incredible.
I can't wait.
Ernie Isley and Liz Warfield and, you know, and the young guitarist Taz, who's a brilliant little guitarist, he's in the School of Rock. And,
oh yeah,
the play. He is amazing. He will knock your socks off.
All right. Well, there's a teaser. Come out for him, if nothing else.
Yes, if you have socks on.
Yeah. Well, you won't by the end of the night. All right. Awesome. Well, Nona Hendricks, this was an honor. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in.
You're welcome. Thank you.